Today's episode is all about Etsy. If you're wondering whether Etsy is the best platform for you, how to optimize it or enhance your rankings, this episode is for you. Lauren Keplinger started selling on Etsy in 2012 and has since built her monogram baby shop to over $800,000 in Etsy sales. In 2018, she started coaching Etsy businesses, and in 2019, she launched her Crickets to Cha-Ching podcast. She teaches women entrepreneurs to build, grow, and scale their e-commerce businesses to a meaningful income for their family, while not letting the business take over their whole lives. On today's episode, we're talking about recent updates to Etsy, strategies for higher rankings in Etsy search results, and common mistakes that Lauren sees e-commerce brands making. Today's episode is brought to you by our Email Marketing for Product Makers guide. If you have struggled with what to say, when to send your emails, or how to plan out your email marketing strategies for wholesale or direct-to-consumer audiences, we have got just the tool for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing and grab a free guide that has helped hundreds of product makers plan out a year's worth of emails. Yep, we'll tell you what to say, when to send, and help you create an email strategy that works for your specific business. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes, and let's get started. Hey, Lauren, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk.
Absolutely. So tell us about the products that you sell and how long you've been selling on Etsy.
Yeah, I sell monogrammed baby gifts. So I make, well, it's kind of gone through many different iterations. Right now in the shop, I have monogrammed baby quilts and stuffed bunnies with the name on their ear. And then I also have a separate collection, which is my newest little venture, I guess, within that shop of print-on-demand products. So they're printed from another company.
Awesome. And how long have you been selling on Etsy?
I started my Etsy shop in 2012. So it's my 10-year birthday this year.
Happy birthday. Happy business
Thanks.
Birthday.
That's awesome. It's been a long 10 years.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes, huh? Yeah. So I do want to talk about some of the changes in a little bit, but let's talk about what types of businesses benefit most from selling on Etsy.
So I find that the people that that have the most success on Etsy are people that have a really clear cut vision for what they're wanting to sell and who that product appeals to, which is probably true across the board, not just Etsy, but also that are selling a product that is already kind of popular on Etsy. So already has built-in demand from the platform. The biggest benefit to Etsy in the way that it can work with other avenues that you're selling on is that Etsy already has their own built-in traffic. But when people come to the platform or when they come to me and they say, I really want to sell on Etsy, but I have this product that nobody's ever heard of, nobody's ever made before, like this is brand new and I've created this idea, the first thing that pops into my head is if people don't know that they're looking for that product and then they secondarily don't know to come to Etsy to look for that product, there's a big barrier there. So yeah. I think the people that have a product that already kind of has a built-in market on Etsy are the ones that can jump into it and have success the fastest.
What do you think about oversaturation too? It seems like there's certain categories on Etsy that have so many people selling the same types of products that it's hard to differentiate yourself. Do you find that that's an issue that people come across selling on Etsy as well?
I think that kind of goes back to what I said just a second ago about the people that have the most success is when you have a really clear definition. I think it's not as hard to stand out with the product. I mean, for people who have really kind of basic silver hoop earrings, then yes, I think that oversaturation can be a problem. Although I would argue that it's kind of a problem across the board, not just on Etsy. For sure. Like Etsy is a microcosm of retail as a whole. So, you know, in the people that have, I mean, I sell baby gifts, so there's nothing particularly special about mine. And I have had products like recently, even with my print on demand products, I created like a floral pink baby blanket and it did not sell well because there wasn't anything about it that was particularly exciting or different from any other pink floral baby blanket that you could get, you know, in any baby store that you walk into. But I think that the narrower you can get with who you're trying to appeal to and how that person is connected to your product, the better, that will sell again, like on Etsy and kind of across the board, I think.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, Etsy is just one platform and a sea of different places that we can sell our products and, you know, the rules of how to get attention and how to gain visibility and, you know, knowing our audience and having a standout product that applies to everything. I just find I don't know as much about Etsy as I know about selling on our own e-commerce platforms. I did sell on Etsy for a short while from 2008 until 2014, but things have changed so much, which actually kind of brings me to my next kind of topic I want to talk about. What are the latest updates and changes that have been made to Etsy? You know, what should people be aware of or know about Etsy now in 2022?
Oh, that's a good question. Huh? Yeah. So I think that one of the things that I really stress to people is that I think that one of the shifts, I guess, that Etsy has made over the years is that they started out feeling like sort of this cottage business. We're here to help you. We're all artists here. And so we're going to boost you up. And that was never really true. You know, I mean, it was always a business, but the way that they've kind of branded themselves made people feel that way. It made sellers feel that way.
You felt like you were part of a community, that we were all in this together. Absolutely.
Right. Yes. And so as Etsy has grown and become more corporate and publicly traded and all of these things that large corporations are, people have sellers have been like sort of personally offended by this. I can't believe Etsy's raising their rates. How could they do this to me? Like it is like this personal affront to them as a artist. And I think that that is really something that I have never felt that way about Etsy. I've always seen Etsy as a means to an end. So I have a product that I want to sell. They have built-in traffic. We work together well in that way. I'm paying fees for your built-in traffic. And I think that it's really difficult at this point to be successful when your attitude is that they should be doing you a favor. They're a business just like you're a business. So my prices are higher on Etsy than they are on my own website. And so then I don't get mad when Etsy raises their fees. You know, it is what it is. And so I think that that's been a big shift that Etsy has undergone as a natural transition of them growing their business and their platform and also being publicly traded. But it's been something that I've seen, especially people who've been selling on Etsy for a while, that really holds people back from being able to be successful because they are so like emotionally involved in Etsy and they can't step back and say like, this is just a business. It's just a platform. So that's kind of like a broader spectrum change that they've made in terms of the more like actual changes to, you know, sort of the nitty gritty details of your business. I think that Etsy has changed as online retail, e-commerce has changed things like they really want you to have free shipping. They really push for free shipping. Now, one of the things that they have really stressed is the customer service aspect of it. Etsy had a lot of issues with, you know, pop-up shops in the middle of the pandemic selling masks who would then like take your money and run. And so they had a lot of chargebacks and issues with that, just a lot of customer service issues. And so as a response, in my opinion, I don't know that they ever said that it was in response to that, but in my opinion, in response to that, they've implemented a whole bunch of, you know, how quickly you respond to messages and how quickly you send things out and ways that you're kind of graded on those things. Again, I don't really think that's a bad change as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Like, your customers want you to respond to messages anyway. So whether Etsy is grading you on that or not, your customers are, you know, so I think that it's kind of followed all of retail. Obviously, Amazon and how quickly Amazon always ships things and the free shipping and everything kind of changed e-commerce in general that way. And that is harder as a smaller business, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is. I saw one of your Instagram, I think it was Reel, where you talked about the rising fees and how this is a cost of doing business. And I was on my side of the screen clapping my hands of like, yes, unfortunately, these types of things, when people get so upset about them, I have to say, okay, let's take a step back. As you mentioned earlier, this is business and this is just part of it. Right now we're seeing a rise in pretty much everything tied to our business, you know, every service, the raw goods, the labor, all of it, we're seeing increases. So, you know, that's just another signal to everyone listening who runs a small product-based business that it's time to evaluate your pricing as well and see where you might need to raise your prices or your services even. I'd love to transition to a little bit about SEO on Etsy. What are 2 to 3 tips that you can offer our listeners when it comes to ranking higher in the search results on Etsy? Do you have any strategies you could share with us there?
So the SEO is made up of a few different factors on your Etsy listing, things like titles and tags and your descriptions. But one of the main things that I think people kind of go one extreme or the other. A lot of times people want to have really general, like, living room art that doesn't say anything about their product, or they want to say like something really specific, you know, this is an acrylic purple water bottle. And you're like, okay, maybe people aren't really searching for purple and acrylic.
Yeah.
So, you know, finding kind of that in between where you are describing your product, but you're not describing it in a way that's so general that nobody's going to be able to find it, or so specific that nobody's using those words. Right. And then my second point there would be to make sure that you are using the words that your customers are using to describe it. So I found this to be true. When I started, I made burp cloths with like little animals and stuff on them. They're appliqué, but a lot of people outside of sewing don't know what appliqué is. So I had to describe them as like monogrammed or personalized or custom or whatever, because using appliqué was not something that the customer was searching for. It was something that other people who do appliqué are looking for, or, you know, they know that word, but they're not looking for that product. So I see this a lot of times with technical, like jewelry or art, painting, that kind of thing, where people have this technical skill and then they're describing it that way, but the buyer is not using those words. So making sure that you're really thinking about, and usually all you have to do is kind of ask around to people outside of your industry, how would you describe this? And that can be really helpful, but making sure that there is that mesh of like that you are describing your product, but you're not describing it in a way that's too technical for your buyer.
That's great advice. One of the things I've mentioned to my students and clients is go on Instagram stories or whichever platform you have the largest following and put up a poll and say, how would you describe this product? Or not a poll, but what are those called? The question answer box or whatever, and have them, you know, tell you how they would describe that product, because then you are hearing straight from your consumer as to what they would search for. And that's just another way outside of all the tech tools that are available to us for SEO. You know, SEO on any platform takes time to test and see what works, and it can take a while to see results. So what is the best way for Etsy sellers to kind of measure whether or not their SEO efforts are working on that platform?
I usually tell people to look at trends over 30 days. This is kind of a common internet myth. It doesn't take the Etsy algorithm 30 days to catalog your products, but I think that it does take a little while to get enough data, like enough visits, enough conversions, you know, enough favorites and stuff like that on the platform to be able to see whether you're trending up or you've kind of flatlined or nothing's really happening. So in adding new products, I mean, you really should be getting traffic. If you have a product that has enough demand on the platform and you have SEO that is, you know, optimized and everything, you should be getting traffic within the first few days, at least here and there. And you can look at your individual stats, like listing by listing on the dashboard of Etsy. So you can see like, okay, I'm getting, you know, 50 views overall, but half of them are coming in through this one listing. And then looking at 30-day trends to say, you know, if I have 500 visits to a listing over 30 days and it doesn't sell, when there's some other disconnect there, what's going on?
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. So in terms of which pieces to measure, it sounds like you're suggesting the number of visits to a product page, the number of people that are liking or is that the right term? Liking a product or liking your
Yeah, Etsy has favorites. I wouldn't focus on that one as much because a lot of people just like window shop, but it would be more the traffic and then the actual conversions.
The tracking. Sales makes sense. Yeah. Conversion was next on my list. Okay. That makes a whole lot of sense. You know, what are some common mistakes that you see people making when it comes to their product listings or even their descriptions on Etsy?
Well, I think that, again, it's kind of something that you see across the board with all of e-commerce. Etsy has very low barriers to entry, so it's very easy to get started. But that does not mean that it's easy to be successful. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen right away. So I think that a huge issue is that people expect sort of overnight results, like just because, you know, people have been successful on Etsy or just because Etsy has this built-in traffic base does not mean that, you know, next month you're going to have $10,000 in sales on the platform. Like you have to set realistic expectations. And so I honestly think that that's probably one of the biggest things that I see is just the frustration too quickly, because I think that if you stick with it and you keep working at it, you almost 100% can be successful, but a lot of people get discouraged before they get to that point. The other thing that I really still see a lot of, and this is also goes back to our changes, is photography. I think that, you know, when you got started on Etsy in 2008, when I got started in 2012, it really didn't matter. Like you could take almost any picture. My old listing pictures were horrendous. Like blurry and like you can't even barely tell what it is, but it didn't matter. People didn't have that expectation. There was not really any social media, and those platforms have completely changed our expectation of the visuals that go along with the brand.
Yep.
And you know, there are so many amateur photographers now, Instagram influencers, those types of people who have really stunning photography that displays things really well. So when you have, you know, a product listing that's blurry or that the lighting is really bad on it or whatever, it doesn't, I always say to people, buyers on Etsy want you to be a small business and they like the idea of you like making this in your basement, but like, they don't want to feel like it came out of your basement.
Right.
And that product photography kind of makes you feel like it's like kind of this grungy basement item. And a lot of times, because we are small businesses and a lot of people are hand making things and stuff, your price point is higher than a larger retailer. So yep. That photography, there's a real disconnect then between a higher price point and worse photography. Like it needs to mesh together to feel high quality all around.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on all of that. And I had to chuckle because my first photos on Etsy were awful too. They, you know, I did them on my phone as best I could, but we didn't have the technology then that we have now. We didn't have even some of the photo apps that you can use to make your stuff look so wonderful easily. I mean, it's still an extra hat that we wear as a business owner, but it is an important piece of the brand and the visibility component for sure. Okay. You know, a lot of people I work with have been in business for more than 10 years or, you know, even longer than that. And many fewer too, but I'm thinking of them right now, the people that have been in business for over 10 years and they've had Etsy for a long time. They've also had their own e-commerce platform for a long time. And they grapple with like, do we keep this Etsy presence going? Because we have a lot of sales there. It shows our longevity. It shows that we're an established brand, but we're not getting a lot, like they're kind of putting it on cruise control a little bit. And I guess my question to you is, what do you advise for these brands? I kind of advise them one by one based on their particular circumstances, but whether or not to keep their Etsy platform or whether they should just go all in on their own e-commerce site. And I think sometimes it depends too on where their traffic is mostly lying and where they're pushing their traffic when they're doing their marketing. But I understand that we've been here for so long. People know how to find us. We have the built-in community. We have the sales records that people can see and the reviews and all of that. So what is your advice to people that have been there a long time? They're maybe not nurturing it as much as they once did. Should they keep it or should they close it?
I mean, my opinion would be that you should keep it because I think that there is a subset of people who are brand loyal to Etsy. And I have seen this. I also have my own website and my Etsy shop. And I have seen people come back 20, 30, 40 times to my Etsy shop, in spite of the fact that I offer them coupons to my website. I, you know, give the prices are cheaper, like all these incentives to move them over. They just don't. And so I think that, you know, some people will, and some people are loyal to you, and those people are loyal to me, but for whatever reason, it's easy to keep all their purchases in one place where they can look and see. And, you know, I have people who will come back and order the same thing over and over again as gifts. Like they send it to, you know, every new baby or whatever. So they can see, oh, last time I ordered a white quilt with this font and whatever. So it makes it easy for them to have it all right there. And I think that in terms of the fees on Etsy, you know, I mean, because that's really the only downside is like on your own website, you're not paying the fees, and on Etsy you are. But as long as you can continue to get in front of new people with the traffic that's on Etsy, I don't think that it's ever going to really hurt you. And I think that there are those people that will then move on to your website. So to use it sort of as a funnel for that new traffic, just another way to get in front of a different audience that maybe wouldn't trust your own, you know, we all have all gotten scammed by like Instagram ads that look beautiful and make people a little bit hesitant to purchase off of a platform that they are not familiar with. So I think that for some first-time buyers, it is helpful to have that they feel more secure purchasing through Etsy. They feel like there's another person that's going to step in if it goes wrong.
From a business standpoint, I've advised a lot of people, you know what, leave it on cruise control for that exact reason that you're talking about, that you can still reach new customers. They can become familiar with your brand. Perhaps they'll follow you on social, get on your email list, all the things. But you raised an interesting point too about the customer experience and them having all of their data in one spot, the customer having all of their data in one spot. That was something that it does make a lot of sense, especially for those repeat customers. So yeah, I think, you know, most of my people are keeping it going. They're putting it on cruise control. Some of them are limiting the number of SKUs that they have available on Etsy and having their full catalog of product on their e-com site, which I think is another strategy of like helping to try to get people over if that's your goal. But yeah, it's been fascinating to see because there's a lot of people that have both. And they're also hitting a point in their business where they don't have the capacity or the foundation, the team to manage all these different platforms too. So they're taking a close look at, okay, well, what's the profitability of each and where's my traffic coming from? And, you know, what do I maintain? But I think for those that are focused on direct to consumer, keeping that Etsy where you have that established presence, the reviews, again, the sales data, so people can see that you are legit. You're not like an Instagram ad, as you mentioned. Right. I think it is helpful. So if people want to, I mean, people are probably listening, taking notes and really entrenched in what you're sharing here. So thank you for that. If they want to learn more from you about how to enhance their Etsy presence, their rankings, their sales, and work with you, what kind of resources and programs do you have available?
Yeah. Well, I have a podcast called Crickets Cha-Cha-Chings. And then I also have an Etsy training program called Scale Your Sales and a variety of free resources and stuff on my website at laurenkeplinger.com.
Awesome. My next question was, where can they find you online, which you've already covered, but what about social? Where can they follow you there?
Yeah. Mostly on Instagram, and it's lauren.keplinger.
Awesome. We will include all of those links in the show notes for everyone listening. Lauren, thank you so much for your time today. This was awesome to hear how things are going on Etsy and how you've had your growth, and the strategies you shared were really helpful as well. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Big thanks to Lauren for joining me today. If you're focused on growing your Etsy shop, be sure to check out her podcast, her free resources, and her Scale Your Etsy Sales program. We'll link all of that in the show notes so you can easily access it there. Thank you for listening to the end and for all of your support for the Proof to Product podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast player, you know, that one you're listening to right now, and share it with a friend that might benefit from listening. And if you're so inclined, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and write a review. Those rankings and review get more eyes and ears on our podcast and allows us to bring you highly qualified guests. So thanks again for listening to the end, and I'll be back soon with a new episode.